Well, hello all, and welcome to our fourth Sunday of the month, our CWOW Sunday, our Church Without Walls Sunday. And we have been focusing on this 100 or so-ish days of extraordinary prayer, and we're going to talk a little bit about prayer. We just came off another installment of the sermon series where Dan has been talking about really kind of getting into this next 40 days or so of extraordinary prayer, you know, praying for our hashtag, our neighborhoods, the next gen, and prayer walking, and praying for our schools and whatnot. So we're really excited to dig into that, and we're going to talk a little bit about prayer. My name is Bill Ewing. I'm the gathering pastor of Calvary Tyrone, and this is my wife, Sarah. So we're just going to talk a little bit kind of about prayer and what our journey has been like. I would say that for us, I love all the resources, number one, that are made available through the Calvary website, calvarysc.org/extraordinary. If you're interested in some of those resources, whether it's you know, books or podcasts or anything of that nature, really good resources. So for us, you know, we've been along through this journey, not only using hashtags, and for me personally, I use one not only for the neighborhood in which we reside, but also for the church. You know, if you've ever been to Calvary Tyrone, we are a storefront church, and we've got a lot of neighbors who live in apartments around us. We've got a lot of other commercial businesses and people who work there. So it's a great resource. I usually take a picture of it with my phone, put it as my background, and some other resources that I love to a certain extent. Some of the more systematic resources that we use, whether, you know, we're talking about the pop-up prayers or acts, or, you know, the concentric circles of prayer. But so let me ask you, Sarah, for you, for those resources, what are some of the resources that you kind of gravitate towards and use in your prayer life?
Well, I guess if I can tell a little bit of a story from my hashtag. So my one focus for me in the last few years has been on recovery and working with people who struggle with addiction, or people who struggle with addiction, because of how that's touched my life. I lost a nephew at 21 from a drug overdose, and other people in my family and his family who struggle with different addictions. And so I help lead a recovery group at Calvary Tyrone. And some of the people on my hashtag are people from the recovery group. And I've been amazed in the last year at how God is answering the prayers about specifically one of those people who, I wouldn't say she was really open to Christianity before, but she was really open to everything. And we switched from the kind of recovery group we were doing before, and we were looking at a new recovery group. And she really was one of the people who pushed for us to do a biblical study. And so watching her read scripture out loud and you know, really dive into it has been amazing. So I'm very thankful for, you know, how the hashtag, you know, worked in my life and in her life, and to see her, you know, making that progress. And you know, I keep praying for her because she's, you know, not saved, but she's definitely way more open and learning. So,
yeah, it's good stuff. We've been talking along this series, kind of that persistence, travailing prayer, and as you said, keep praying. We've also, you know, kind of dug in with other aspects of prayer, not only obviously with reading scripture, listening, taking time to listen to what God has speak not only through His Word, but just in our times of kind of silence and communicating with Him. So those have all been good. The sweet part for me, I guess, is I like, as much as I really appreciate the systematic prayer, I think for me, I've come to the part, we've done some prayer walking of both our church neighborhood and our residential neighborhood, and pray for my hashtag and building relationships with our neighbors. We've even created a Facebook group for our neighborhood. We live in kind of the outskirts of Tyrone, and it's been great to see people kind of communicate their needs for other neighbors and how we can love on them, things that they've invited us to. You know, we have one neighbor who constantly seems like every year has a band at their house that you can hear, and they've invited us to, and even through some of our own FYM things for donuts in the driveway. We live on the side of I-99, so it's probably a little bit of a challenge to use some door hangers, but Facebook page is great, and so that's been a great resource for us too. And but I've come to the point, I think, where loving all of those resources, you know, but really kind of digging in the First Thessalonians, like pray continuously. And I've come to the point of using kind of the Lord's Prayer of I want to pray more of His will to be done, you know, His sovereign will. And I spoke to this with Calvary Tyrone about how important it is. You know, a lot of times we have in our hearts maybe kind of where we would like things to go or how we would like to pray, what we'd like them to end up as. But for me, it really does come down to like this total surrender of saying, listen, God, I want what You want. I want Your will to be done. And so whatever that looks like, you know, a lot of people, I think, say that, but they're more, instead of surrender, it's more of like, you know, managing from afar kind of thing. Like, I'm going to let go a little bit, but, you know, this is still what I kind of want. If God doesn't answer it in that way, then all of a sudden I'm going to question faith. I'm going to question whether or not, you know, God is good or that kind of thing. And so I think it's important that, you know, kind of surrender to His will. He knows the ultimate plan, you know, Romans 8:28, you know, He works all things for the good. And sometimes we don't know what that looks like. And then the other part that I think for me in praying, since so much of an effort and emphasis on prayer is just kind of not only in the praying of Scripture, and I know we talked about the listening aspect, but just kind of just being open to like, what is it that God is speaking to us? What's the direction, you know? And if we're surrendering and making Lord of our lives and we say, Your will be done, Lord, like, what does that mean? What does that look like? And are we ready to go kind of along for the ride? So I think those are important factors too, as much as the systematic. You know, when the disciples asked Jesus, you know, how do we pray? He gave them kind of what I feel is that systematic prayer as a jumping off point. But there's plenty of times too where, you know, Jesus was intentional and went off by himself and prayed, and obviously also prayed in public. And so I think it's all those times are important. It's important to be intentional about it. And we talked about at Calvary Tyrone, those important aspects of what a relationship, you know, looks like, those key factors. And I remember I did a little audience participation, and the top three things were, number one, time, right? Investing time into that relationship is so important. And not that you have to catalog. It's not like you have to write down, well, I spent 7 hours of prayer or this, that, right? But recognizing that time is important, right? Time in the Word, time in prayer is important. The other aspect was communication, right? Communicating, not only just speaking, but listening, right? And then I remember the final one was adoration. That kind of goes along with the systematic approach. Somebody said adoration in a relationship, so important. And I think, you know, we use that ACTS acronym, the adoration, confession, right? Thanksgiving, the prayers of supplication, that kind of stuff, like, is so important. And if the more you spend time in it, the more kind of you get that rhythm, just like we talk about that pray first rhythm, like you understand the kind of like the purpose of prayer and why we come to the Lord the way we do. What are some things that we communicate, and how can we communicate to make sure that we're praying according to His will, right? So other kind of tools like that that you use, or, you know, how do you, when you talk about this pray first rhythm, like how do you dig into that?
You said mine. I've always been an Acts fan, the ACTS. And just that's, you know, something that when I really sit down and, you know, I'm spending that time, that's what I try to remember, is to hit all of those. But another thing that I do is just like, it's just my normal conversation with God throughout the day. I just, our oldest calls them arrow prayers. You know, we just throughout the day just shoot up an arrow, and it you know, when someone says, "Will you pray for, you know, X, Y, Z?" I just immediately am like, "Yeah, I'll pray." And then it's just a quick arrow prayer. And so it's just like a continual conversation that I have open with God. And those, you know, quick few seconds might not seem like much, but A, I don't forget them. and B, they, you know, I don't feel like it's a tedious thing. It's just simply a conversation. And I, you know, it's quick. It can happen anytime, anywhere.
Yeah. I think those arrow prayers, I think that comes from Charles Spurgeon. So shout out to him, number one, right? But I think those are so important. I one of the other things that kind of, for me personally, growth, and that I encourage people to, is, you know, when you have people say, "Hey, will you pray for this? Can you pray for this?" I've kind of just reminded myself, I want to be about it, not just speak about it. Like, instead of saying, "Yeah, absolutely, I'll pray for you," and like put it on the list somewhere where I may or may not remember it, I just say, "Hey, let's do that now," right? And there could, because typically in the request, whether it's, and I've used all kind of different tools, whether it's like face to face, obviously face to face, I pull people aside and we just pray about it. And I think sometimes it shocks people because they expect to get that answer of like, "Yeah, I'll pray for you." Mm-hmm. But I just say, "Hey, let's pray about it now," right? There's no,
and I'll even do it in text. You know, if someone texts me and says, "Can you pray for, you know, somebody?" I'll just write back up my text back is the prayer. And, you know, I've had a few people who are like, "Wow, that's amazing," because I can go back and reread that, and that becomes my prayer, and so becomes their prayer. You know, so I think that, again, it's just like another arrow prayer. It just happens in the moment, and it doesn't have to be long, but...
Yeah. And I think with, obviously, technology, whether it's through a phone call or you can even record your prayer and send it, I think all those are great. And the other thing I think is so crucial to this, you know, I remember when our kids would pray when they were younger, you know, asking them to pray, and they'd say, "Well, Dad, I don't know what to say. Am I saying it correctly?" And what I always try to encourage people, I'm like, listen, if you pray scripture, if you're in the Word, you go to the book of Psalms and you read David's prayers that are very, like, just raw and, you know, authentic with his emotions. I just tell people, listen, God is not scared of your emotions, right? He's not shocked by it. In fact, he welcomes it. He wants that raw emotion. He wants you to commune with him in that way. And David would do that through Psalms. But I always come back to, as raw as those emotions are, whether it's saying, "God, I'm just not hearing from you," or "God, God, you know, I feel I'm in this dark place. I feel like there's people after me, like things are just not going well." I love the way that David always wrapped it up. It was like, "But, you know, you are Lord, and you're sovereign, and God, you're in control, and I trust you."
Don't get stuck in the emotion.
Yeah, don't get stuck.
You can
in
have
the
them and get them off your chest, but don't get stuck there.
It's one of those things that we talked about, you know, a couple of months ago, where we were talking about like holding on and being tethered to the truth. Like, your emotions can take you a certain direction. But when you're in the Word, once again, the importance of being in the Word and knowing the truths, the promises of God, like, you can always come back to those. This is the way I'm feeling, but this is what I know. And so I think, you know, just being authentic in your prayers, right? There's no, like, specific language, specific posture. You can look at the history of prayer and where people knelt, they stood, they had, bow your head, close your eyes to looking up and opening your eyes and hands folded to hands open. You know, it's there's no specific posture. I don't think God is concerned with how we look when we come to prayer. And there's no specific words that we need to necessarily use either. You know, it's communicating. It really is more about the relational aspect of it than it is some sort of like performance or structured, talk. So it's, those are important. And not that I don't want to vilify really kind of like the systematic or kind of the rote prayers. That's not what I'm saying. But I think there's just a sweet spot of like relational prayer, like, God, my Father, whatever you say. I know people use all kinds of terms, whether you're praying to Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Father, you call him Papa, you call him Daddy, whatever is your basket, he knows. And he's more concerned with the heart than he is with what you look like and what you sound like. So I think that all those things are important. So as we dig into kind of these next 40 days, I guess the question is, what are you adding a little extra to what your ordinary is? One of the thoughts for me, I'm not exactly sure how I will progress with this, is, we've done different things from prayer meetings to Facebook Live prayer, things of that nature, through Zoom when we were during the pandemic. So for me, my next step obviously is continue just to pray for my hashtag. I love the idea of praying for schools. We're both teachers. So there's a lot of challenges that come throughout the school year and a lot of challenges that students face and the community faces. And so I think that's an important aspect, too. I'd like to continue to just kind of dig in and offer something corporately for Calvary Tyrone. Not sure what that's going to look like, but I just feel like, God has been tugging my heart that way, and I've been asking some questions of different people, like, what would that look like? What is going to be something that, people are going to gravitate towards and want as far as the church there in Tyrone? So we have an opportunity, too, coming up the end of July, to join together with churches in our community called Jesus Encounter, where we'll be going and worshiping and praying for Central PA, and that's been an answer to prayer for me to be able to network with other churches. And so that's kind of some that will look a little extra for me. How about you?
Has there been like a extraordinary prayer that sticks out in your mind, like something that has been an extraordinary answer to prayer, or something that was, was like answered through prayer?
Yeah. So this, so our journey about the building. So the next initiative prayer that I had, when I remember, and I talked about this, sometimes our logic can get in the way of what we think is possible in prayer. And we talked about this passage in Ephesians where it said, God is able to do immeasurably more than what we could ever imagine. And so I remember doing the next initiative, just praying, like, God, what do you want for us? And I felt very secure, like very confident that he was saying, continue to dig into what you're doing for those who are dealing with homelessness and addiction. And also look at the next gen, right? Like, you have a space here. You're able to use it, kind of open up to give them a space to, receive some of that counseling, receive some of that fellowship and love that maybe they're not receiving or struggling to receive, and, give them a place to grab a snack or a place to do some homework. And I thought, okay, well, this must be where you're leading me. And I thought of some numbers and some people who could coordinate all of those things. And I remember submitting it, and it's in print, and I'm like, okay, it's good. And I just remember immediately God saying, is that all you got? Like, that's it? You could have asked for anything. That's it? And immediately he said, I want you to ask for the buildings. And I was like, that's for the buildings. And so I just prayed about it. I was like, God, if this is really what I want, like, I what's the next step? And so I just reached out to some people, the business managers, and asked, like, is this something that the owners would be open to? And immediate feedback, yes, they'd be open to it. Not only selling you one building, but the whole block. And I was like, whoa, like the dominoes are being put into place. And then connections with some other businessmen in the area, connections with people who knew the owners of the building, and they are, you know, Jesus apprentices as well. And it was like all of a sudden these things are being put into place that even one of the guys who is part of Calvary Tyrone said, weren't you just talking about that last week? It seems like it's going pretty fast. And I said, yeah, it is. But when God wants, you know, to put something in, I don't know where that's going to lead. I'm kind of just been along for the ride, just praying for it. Like, if this is what you want, God, like, continue to open doors, and I'm along for the ride, and I'll do whatever you need me to do. And so that's one place for me that I've, it's been like, this is awesome.
So it was learning for you to ask for God what his will is and not put limits on
it,
that you see.
Because I look at the bottom line, like, I'm, you know, when you're talking about $1 million for building, like, we don't have that. That was in my mind. Mm-hmm. We don't have that. I don't even know if it's a possibility.
So that's still a prayer, because we're still seeking
wisdom. Absolutely.
And, you know, financial information and all of that. But that was a big learning.
So it's a big lesson for me. Like, it's, hey, you know, not only in my prayers, because I think, you know, a lot of times you think, well, you know, I'm praying, and it's not like this is outside of God's will. It's not like what I prayed was outside of God's will. Once again, his sovereign will was like, I got different plans though, and I'm okay. That's what I want. That comes back to that. You know, God, I want your will to be done. This is what I see. This is kind of what I believe you're telling me, but sometimes I can get in the way of what his plan is. So cool. Well, thank you guys for joining us. We're praying for you as you add a little something extra to your prayers for these last 40 days-ish, or whatever they may end up being. But I will tell you one thing that I know for certain is prayer should be our first response. And what a privilege and power it is to be able to talk to the creator of the universe and somebody who knows us intimately. I tell that to people all the time. Like, it's not like just the only thing I can do and pray. That phrase, I can't stand. No, let me tell you something. If prayer is the only thing you can do, it's the best thing you can do. So continue to dig into that, into prayer. And I know for a fact that God is going to do some amazing things. So God bless you guys.